Amen. Well, we are going through the sermon series on the church, and we've looked at the church in Israel, which the church in the promise to Abraham, and we've been kind of just traveling through looking at the church's relation to different things. And last couple weeks, we've been looking at Pentecost and the birth of the church. And this morning, we're going to look at what happened right after Pentecost. Because we remember last week, we talked about how Peter preached that wonderful message of repentance and convicted the people, talking about how they had crucified Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 2, 40 through 47, we read, and says that Peter, with many other words, testified and exhorted them, saying, "Be saved from this perverse generation." And then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. And so that we see the church in one day, boom. I mean, that's amazing. Before I became the pastor here, I was the state coordinator of the John Birch Society out in Montana. And I can tell you that at no time did 3,000 people join the John Birch Society in one day. That would have been crazy, madness, right? I mean, could you imagine leading an organization and have 3,000 new people to serve in one day? That is a lot. But that is not really the full picture. The full picture is that it was a lot more than 3,000. That was just one day. And we're going to figure out what happened the next day and the next day. And it continues. So we see that the Lord added the people to the church. And then it says, verse 47 of chapter 2, it says, that the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. And so every single day the church is growing. We see that Peter again preaches in Acts chapter 3. There was a lame man. You guys probably have heard that song about... what is that song about the lame man and Peter and John? Peter and John went to pray. They met on their way. Boy, yeah. Yeah, that's how bad. That was a VBS song, and I haven't been in VBS for quite some time, so I'm going to have to go back and refresh my memory on that one. But anyway, Peter and John went to pray. They met this lame man, and he asked for alms, right? And they said, "We don't have any alms. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I give thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Lazarus, rise up and walk." And so he did that, and so he did this miracle. And so then it says, "Now as the lame man was healed, held on to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them in the porch, which is called Solomon's, greatly amazed." So here is this man who was healed, and now all the people are running to get around Peter and John. And so when Peter saw it, he responded to the people, "Men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Or why look so intently, as though by our own power or godliness we had made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers." He's talking to the Jews, their common heritage. "The God of our fathers glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One and the just and asked for a murderer to be granted to you. And you killed the Prince of Life, whom God raised from the dead, of which we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes through him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all." And so Peter said, "It was not us who by our own power healed this man, It was the power of Jesus Christ and his faith in Jesus that healed this man, whom they had crucified. And Peter continues and he says, "Yet now, brethren, I know that you did it in ignorance, as did also your rulers. But those things which God foretold by the mouth of all his prophets, that the Christ would suffer, he has thus fulfilled." And here is Peter's challenge. "Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, and so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send Jesus Christ, whom was preached to you before, whom heaven must receive until the times of restoration of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began." Now is the time to repent. Now is the time to turn to God so that you can experience that refreshing moment when you realize that your sins are forgiven. The Lord added, Peter preached, many believed. Now as they spoke to the people, the priests, the captain of the temple, and the Sadducees came upon them, being greatly disturbed that they taught the people and preached in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. However, many of those who heard the word believed, and the number of the men came to be about 5,000. So here in one day we have 3,000, and now we have 5,000 men. The church is growing. It is growing fast. But also we see that persecution is beginning, right? These people are saying, "Hey, your leaders, the ones that crucified Jesus, they need to repent. They are wrong." And guess what? Leaders don't normally like to be told that they need to repent and that they're wrong. And so they came and got Peter, the disciples, and they threw him in jail. It says, "And it came to pass on the next day that their rulers, elders, and scribes, as well as Annas the high priest, Caiaphas, John, and Alexander, and as many as were of the family of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, 'By what power or by what name have you done this?'" They've heard what he said, right? They've heard it wasn't by our power that we did this. They know what Peter preached. And so they're following up on this. Tell us more about this power. "By what power have you done this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day are judged for a good deed done to a helpless man, by what means he has been made well? Let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, and by him this man stands here before you whole. This is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." By what power? By the power of Jesus Christ. By the power of God. That's the power that healed that man. That's the power that's going to save us. There is salvation in no other. If we turn to the government for help, for our salvation, we will come up empty-handed because the government cannot save us. It's never been able to save us. Now, they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and they perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, and they marveled. And they realized that they had been with Jesus. And seeing the man who had been healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, "What shall we do to these men?" They started to realize what's going on here. These men have been with Jesus. They're his disciples. Now they're starting to cause a commotion. "We thought we got rid of that Jesus guy. Oh boy. Now what are we going to do? What are we going to do with these people? For indeed that a notable miracle has been done through them is evident to all who dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it." But so that it spreads no further among the people, let us severely threaten them that from now on they speak to no man in this name. And so they called them and commanded them not to speak at all or teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said to them, "Whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge. For we cannot but speak the things that we have seen and heard." And so when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding no fault, finding no way of punishing them, because of the people, since they all glorified God for what he had done. And for the man who has been over 40 years old, on whom this miracle of healing had been performed. They said, "Do not preach in Jesus' name anymore." And their answer was, "We can only tell you the things that we have seen and heard." We must tell you. We must tell the things that we have seen and heard. And you decide what you're going to do with us, because we're going to follow God. Now the multitude of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither did anyone say that any of the things he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. And with great power the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace was given upon them all. Nor was there anyone among them who lacked. For all who were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of the things that were sold and laid them at the apostles' feet. And they distributed to each one as anyone had need. And Joses, who was also named Barnabas by the apostles, which is translated son of encouragement, a Levite of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. So we see that we're starting to have some persecution on the church, but we see the church is one. There's also persecution within the families of the people, and they're coming, and they are of one. One commune. Everything was in common. People are giving to the church. It's receiving support. But it is growing fast. And the apostles are 12 people. And there were other disciples too. But this organization is growing very quickly. We see in Acts 5, 12 through 21, it says, "And through the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were done among the people. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. Yet none of the rest dared join them," being the Jews, "but the people esteemed them highly. And believers were increasingly added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women. And so that they brought the sick out into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might fall on some of them. Also, a multitude gathered from the surrounding cities to Jerusalem, bringing sick people and those who were tormented by unclean spirits. and they were all healed. Things are happening. When you got people lining the streets just to catch the shadow of Peter, everybody is caught up in what is happening in the church. And so we see the high priest in verse 17. It says, the high priest rose up and all those who were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and they were filled with praise for God. Hey, God's doing this great work in our city. No. They were filled with indignation, angry. And they laid their hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. But at night, an angel of the Lord opened the prison doors and brought them out and said, go and stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of this life. What an amazing thing. The formation of the church, the establishment of the church. Satan is trying every which way he can do to thwart it out. When they heard that, what the angel said, they entered the temple early in the morning and taught. And the high priest and those who were with him came and called the council together and all of the children of Israel and sent to the prison to have them brought. All the leaders of the tribes coming together. Now go get those guys who are causing a disturbance. Where are they? Then the captain went with the officers and brought them without... They were in teaching. It says, then the captain went with the officers to where they were, brought them without violence, for they feared the people, lest they should be stoned. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, did we not strictly command you not to teach this name? And look, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood on us. They weren't happy. They were trying to keep control. They were trying to keep order. And here, these guys, after they got rid of that Jesus guy, now these guys are doing the same stuff. They're getting everybody excited about these miracles. They're getting everybody excited about this, that, and the other. And they're telling them that they, the leaders, are at fault for Jesus being crucified. They're saying that the leaders are murderers. So what do they say in response to the high priest? But Peter and the other apostles answered him and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you murdered by hanging on a tree. Him God has exalted to his right hand to be prince and savior, to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses to these things. And so also is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. Their answer was, you have authority, but it's not as great as God's authority. And when you want us to disobey God, we will not. We will obey God rather than your rules, because it is God who is over you. We are the witnesses to these things, and so also is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. Now, in those days, when the leaders of the disciples were multiplying, when the number of the disciples was multiplying, there arose a complaint against the Hebrews by the Hellenists, because their widows were neglected in the daily distribution. Now imagine this. People are coming into the church by the thousands. People are giving money to the church, all kinds of money. And they're buying food and distributing it daily to those who are in need. And some people are saying, hey, I didn't get my food. I hadn't got it. I hadn't got my food for a few days. And they're starting to complain. People don't complain, do they? I mean, come on. They're starting to complain because the widows were neglected in the daily distribution. And the 12 summoned the multitude of the disciples and said, it is not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. And therefore, brethren, seek out among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man of faith, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit, and Philip and a bunch of other guys. And when they sat before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid hands on them, and then the word of God spread. And the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests were obedient to the faith. Now we see that God used the persecution of the church to spread the church out, right? Because what was the Great Commission? What did Jesus tell them to do? He said, go! What did he tell Abraham to do? Go! Right? And what did the disciples do? They stayed. Like, hey, we got to study. We got to get ready, right? And so God used the persecution of the church to get the church out of Jerusalem. But here is an amazing story of God's presence in the early church as it is a growing organization, as it is building itself out, adding people to serve in different capacities. And the word of God spread. One of the things that Samson and Safi and I have been talking about in our look at the early church is understanding the difference between something that's prescriptive and descriptive. You might go to the doctor and he might tell you a lot of things. He might describe a lot of things, but he's probably going to prescribe one thing or two things. And that's what you're going to get at the pharmacy. Right? A prescription is what I want you to do. A description is what happened or what's happening. And so in the early church, we see a lot of events going on, a lot of amazing things that happened. And some of them are descriptive of what happened, and some of them are prescriptive of here's what you should be doing. Right? The Great Commission is prescriptive, go into all the world and preach the gospel. The fact that they went from house to house, I would love for that to be prescriptive. Eating together, right? I mean, wouldn't that be great if that was in the verse, if that was a verse in the Bible that says, have your pastor over at least once a week for lunch so that we can all together pray and eat. I mean, as long as he's not cooking, yes. See? Now that could have saved us a whole lot of money and a fire and everything if we would have just had that verse in the Bible. But it's not there. That was descriptive that they went from house to house, right? We gather here on Sunday mornings in a building, although I am available throughout the week if anybody wants to have me over for lunch. Or my entire family as well. But the thing that we need to remember is that we look to God. Our hope is in God. In this life, we recognize that sin is destroying everything around us. This world is condemned, but God has sent His Son to redeem us so that we might go to a new world and experience new life, eternal life with Him. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, what an exciting time for the church, the beginning of the church, the explosion of the early church. People who saw Jesus, people who knew His teachings, people who probably even saw Him alive after He had risen from the dead. And they hear the gospel message that they can be forgiven if they would only repent. And so many responded, yes, I will follow God. I will follow Christ. I will repent of my sin. I will be a follower of Christ, a Christian. And Lord, we see in the rest of the book of Acts that so many things are just being put together as they go, following the guidance of the Holy Spirit, following the teachings of their Lord. And so, Lord, here we are, 2,000 years later. The question remains, who are we going to serve with our life? And Lord, I pray that each one of us has already made that decision that we're going to follow You, that we're going to serve You with our life, that we love You. We love this message of peace and hope. We love this message of redemption, and we're willing to repent. We're willing to follow You wherever that takes us. Lord, if there's somebody here who hasn't made that decision yet, Lord, I pray in their heart of hearts that they would seek You, that they would ask You to forgive them of their sins and to commit to following You for the rest of their life. And I pray that they would come and talk to me about that. There's nothing greater than knowing that you are at peace with God and knowing that He loves you and died for you. Lord, we do thank You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.